chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts today. May we be transformed as we read your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And I put on your outline, when we talk about getting involved, I want to make sure that we always keep in mind our definition of kingdom living, of the kingdom life. And I put it on here for us again so we can always get it into our mind, into our hearts, that the kingdom life is one that is under the authority and the teaching and the leadership of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's say this one more time. Let's read that together. A kingdom life is one that is under the authority, teaching, and the leadership of Jesus Christ. So we want to always have our life under his authority, his leadership, and his teaching, correct? Because we want to always be under his authority, his teaching, so that we can be everything that God has called us and ordained and designed us to be. And so we want to always do that. And I want you to know that God has designed us to pray. We can all, now, when we talk about getting involved, and on your outline, I put this: prayer is the one thing that every Christian can be involved in. Prayer. And it should be on the PowerPoint screen, too. Prayer is the one thing that every Christian can be involved in. Now, everybody can't sing. I mean, you know, on stage. You know, everybody can't be up here. Everybody can't play the bongo. I mean, the congo. Is that bongos or congos, Larry? Yeah, everybody can't do that. Everybody can't play the guitar. But everybody can pray. Not everybody can preach. Not everybody should preach. But every Christian can pray. And every Christian should pray. So everybody in here, in this room, if you remember Beyond the Walls Church, should be involved in prayer. Because everybody can do that. And God has called us to be a people of prayer. Matter of fact, Jesus says one of the great distinctions of his church is people who pray. That we should be known as people who pray. And I love what the Apostle Paul told Timothy, that pastor who was pastoring the church up there in Ephesus. He gave him a powerful scripture, and it's not 1 Timothy 1, it's 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. And here's what he told that pastor. He said, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So he says he wants the first priority to be in a church is that we should pray. That should be a priority in our church, prayer. And I want you to know that God is more delighted and excited to answer your prayers than you are to pray. I'll say that again. God is more excited and delighted to answer your prayers than you are excited and delighted to pray. See, I don't want to get to heaven, and God says to me, "Demetrius, I want to do this, but you never ask. You left some prayers on the table. There's something I want to do in your life, but you didn't ask me. There's some things that God wants to do in your life. He wants you to pray and seek him." And God says, Jesus says to his disciples, "Ask, and it will be given." Now, do you know that God gives a command for us to be persistent in prayer? That's point one, the command. Be persistent in prayer. Be persistent in your prayer. Now, because that those words in the Greek is always in the present imperative. It means, it says, really what it means, what he's saying is, keep on asking and it will keep on being given. Keep seeking, and it will keep, and you will keep finding. Keep knocking, and it will be open to you. So the condition is always be in a posture of asking, seeking, and knocking. He says, be persistent in your prayer. Continue to pray always. And what God is saying, it doesn't bother me when you come to me and persist and keep asking me for the same thing over and over and over and over again. God says, I want you to be persistent. I want you to keep asking me. And that's what Jesus is telling his disciples, keep asking. Why? Because prayer is the divinely ordained channel through which God gives his children all the good things he designs for our benefit and blessings. Do you know that? That prayer is that channel that God uses to give his children good things that he designed for our benefit and blessing. God has designed to give you good things. God wants to give you good things. God wants to bless you. God wants to benefit you. But God wants you to pray to him, and God wants you to be persistent in your prayer. God's not irritated when you come to him and pray and be persistent. And that's that one thing that we all can do, get involved in prayer. Why do we need to be persistent in prayer? Letter A is this: God reveals his will to us. When we pray, God reveals his will to us. The prophet Jeremiah was writing to the people of Israel as they were getting ready to go into captivity. And he told them that he had a purpose and plan for them, but he told them also that he wanted them to go and seek him. He said, when you seek me, I will be found by you. God says, he told them, I want you to seek me. And when you seek me, when you come and pray to me, I will hear you and I will answer you. God is saying to you and I, come and seek me. Now, when God says you come seek him, that means that God's not hiding from you. He wants to know how bad you want to get into his presence. So now, have you ever played hide and seek with your kids when they were little? Now, I said, my kids used to love playing hide and seek. Dad, can you play hide and go seek? So we turn the lights off and we hide out. I hide out. They come find me. Now, if I really wanted to, I could hide in a place where they couldn't find me. But that would be no fun, right, to have hide and go seek. Nobody can find you. You fall asleep in there, right? No one finds you. So I would always make sure that I would be in a place that when they look for me, they would find me. Now, do you know what they would say when they find me? I got you, Daddy. I got you. I caught you. You can't hide from me. And I said, yeah, you're right. You got me. But I already knew I was positioning myself in a place where they could find me. And what God is saying, he has already positioned himself in a place for you to find him. But he wants you to seek him. He's not hiding from you. He's just in a position that he wants you to get there and meet him there. And when you say, oh, I found God. Well, he said, yeah, you found me. But really, I was waiting for you all the time to get here. So that's why he says, ask, seek, and knock. Because God wants to reveal his will to you. There are things in your life, in my life, that God wants to do in your life. But he wants you to seek him in prayer. People ask me, Christians, no Christian should be walking around here saying, I don't know what God wants me to do. That's not God's fault. If you walk around and say, I don't know what God wants me to do, that is not God's fault. That's your fault. Because God said he have a purpose and plan for your life, and God's not withholding anything from you. He wants you to know him and to know his will for your life. You should be living your life saying, I know what God has wanted me to do today. And then what you want to do is when you know what God wants you to do, you want to begin to do that so that you, when you die, you can say, I have lived and I have fulfilled God's purpose on the earth. And many of us, sadly, many Christians have no clue what God wants them to do because they're not praying and seeking him to say, God, what you have me to do, and to be persistent. God reveals his will to us when we pray to him. So we are to pray to God. Let it be. Also, when we pray and are persistent, God reveals how he wants to involve us in his will. Do you know what God's will is for the world? 2 Peter 3:19 says, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is that humanity might be saved. That's God's will. That you and I may be saved and come to know him through his son, Jesus Christ. That is God's will. Now, when we understand that and we come to knowledge of salvation, then God has another will for us. God wants us to be involved in his plan of saving humanity. What do we do? How do we cooperate with God and God saving the world? Because we don't save anybody. Jesus saves. But God uses us to go and share our faith and to reap a harvest. Because Matthew 9, verse 37 says this. Jesus says, he says what? The harvest is what? Plentiful. He said there's nothing wrong with the harvest. But the laborers are what? Few. And he says, I have a problem here. I have a lot of crops out here. Now listen, that is a farmer's good problem. I have a lot of crops. But the bad thing is, I have nobody to go and reap the crops. Now what happens if you know you have good crops and no one can reap them? What happens to those crops? What happened now? They die. They rot. So he says, okay, I have a problem here. I have a lot of harvest crop. I mean, it's plentiful. But I don't have enough laborers. You know what Jesus told them to do? He says, pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to do what? Send out more laborers. So what Jesus is saying, the problem is not with lost people. They're ready to be saved. The problem is I don't have laborers who are willing to go and reap them. There are people in our community, on your job, at your school, where you live, that are ripe for Jesus. And there's nobody to reap them. And that's why he says, pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest to send out what? More laborers. Now I want you to know, it's going to be hard for you to pray to God to send out more laborers if, here's the catch, you're not willing to go. And I believe that's why many people, Christians, don't pray that prayer. God, send so-and-so, just not me. They'll send the pastor, but not me. You can't pray that prayer if you're not one willing to go. Really, what you should be doing, you should be praying that prayer as you are going. Lord, I'm going, send somebody else to help me. But many of us are saying, Lord, send somebody else, and we're sitting there. Now, what God wants us to do is to do what the prophet Isaiah did when God says, hey, who will go for us? And you know what Isaiah said? Here am I, send me. I'll go. I'm a free agent, I'll go. I've been drafted into God's army, I'll go. And he went. Because he had been involved in prayer. So when you and I are involved in prayer, we begin to understand God's will, and we begin to say, God wants me to be involved in his will. I want you to know that every Christian, if you are a Christian today, you should be involved telling someone about Jesus and reaping a harvest for God. You should be involved. There should be no sideline Christians on the sideline cheerleading. Everybody should be on the team, in the game, scoring a touchdown for Jesus. We need cheerleaders. We need people in the game. So that's what I say about get involved. How you get involved? You can pray. Pray that God's will be done. And that's why Jesus said when you read that Matthew 6 passage, when he talks about prayer. You know what he talks about in Matthew 6? He talks about our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy what? Will be done. Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. God's will is going to be done through who? You and I. God's kingdom is going to come in us, be manifested through us and to other people. So we have to get involved in what God is doing, and so every Christian can pray. And the question I want to ask you, how's your prayer life? Be honest. Don't raise your hand and give a testimony right now, but think to yourself. How's your prayer life? How much time you spend praying? Really praying, seeking God, asking him, being persistent. Not about Burger King, though. What about other stuff? Now, I want us to understand also when we think about, when I said about be persistent in asking, seeking, and knocking, I want you to understand that passage needs to be held in its context. Because what I'm afraid of is that we hear that and we read that out of its context because that comes right on the heels of Jesus praying in Matthew 6, 32 and 33 and 34 when he tells his Christians, do not seek after what? Food, clothing, and shelter. Don't seek those things. He says he tells us don't seek that. Don't go looking for that. He says, but seek first what? My kingdom. and my righteousness. And then he says, well, all these things will be added to you. In other words, what he is saying is this. When he's talking about us command to be persistent in prayer, he is not telling us that our prayers should be all filled with earthly pleasures and desires. And I'm afraid for some of us, most of our prayers, when we pray, it's about us. God, help me, help my children, help me on this job, help me this, help me this, help me, help me. And when you read that Matthew 6 passage, he is talking about, first of all, God's kingdom and God's glory. And what Jesus said to us, that when we pray, when we are persistent, our prayer should be filled with the kingdom and the glory and the will of God. That should be, most of our prayer should be involved with doing God's will. And most of the time, we have God as this cosmic person, this cosmic God, genie, who takes care of us. As if God saved us, and now his whole life centers around us. No, the world centers around the Son, not the S-U-N, the S-O-N. And God wants us to be involved in his kingdom, that his kingdom will come. So when we talk about prayer, now examine your own prayer life. You got your own prayer closet. I got my own prayer closet. You got your own prayer list. When you pray, ask yourself, examine your prayer. What is your prayer filled with? Is it you-centered? Or is it other-centered? Are you saying to God, what you have me to do to bring someone to Christ? Now I say, well, okay, well, you say, okay, I got you there, Pastor. I'm praying for my kids. Now, I want you to be careful about that. You should pray for your kids. You should. Everybody should pray for their kids to be saved. But God's concerned about more than just your kid. Who other kids are you praying for that might get saved? Who other kids are you trying to reach for Jesus? Because it might be somebody else that will reach your kid as you reach somebody else's kid for Jesus. So if all we just focus on our kids, we're still talking about us. Because that benefits us. We can go to sleep. Well, my kid's saved. Yeah, I can die now. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. It's more just about praying just for our kids. It's about saying reaching everybody for Jesus. Okay, who can I reach, influence besides my kids, everybody else to come to know Jesus Christ? So the question for you is, the command is to be persistent in prayer. Now, you should pray for your families. I'm not telling you not to pray. You should pray for your children. But it should go outside just you and your family. We should pray that God's will be done in the earth. So that's the command. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Now, I've heard this passage quoted many, many times. And most of the time, it always deals with something that I need, a material thing. But when you read that passage in Matthew 6, he says, don't even seek that. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Now, I hope this is a good question for parents who love their kids. I'm assuming you love your children, okay? So, my kids never have to ask me for what they need. Never. They never have to ask me for what they need. I know what they need. I know they need food. I know they need clothes. I need a place to stay. They never ask me for what they need. Most of their prayers ask me for what they don't need. Can I have them Jordans? No, you don't need that. You need no Air Jordans. You don't need that. Or can I have a Mustang? No, you don't need that. I need that. You don't need that. I need that. Have the midlife crisis, I need that Mustang. But they never ask me for what they need. Because I give them what they need. Because I love them. So they never have to seek me for saying, I need this. They get what they need. As a matter of fact, their mother loved them so much, the mother started telling me what they need. Hey, you need to get them this, get them that. They don't need that. Yes, they do. Then, you know, so they get that. So mom really knows what they need, even more than I do. So my kids always have what they need, but they don't always get what they want. They can tell you that, no, I don't get what they want. But they do get what they need. And they never really ask for, they never have to ask for what they need. I got them covered on that. And that's what God is saying to you and I. He got you covered. The things that we seeking, jobs, homes, clothes, he said, don't seek that, I got you. What God is saying, seek something better. Seek me and my kingdom and my righteousness. And I'll take care of all the other stuff that you worried about. See how much time we waste worrying about stuff, seeking stuff that God said, don't seek that. Seek my kingdom and watch what God does in your life. in my life. So the command, be persistent. Now here's the promise. The promise is this. God will hear and answer our prayers. God will hear and answer our prayers. That's what he says. You ask, it'll be given. You seek, you'll find. You knock, I'm going to open. He's going to hear and answer your prayer. Understand that God wants to, God will hear you. Isn't that amazing that God of the universe, who created the whole universe, said, let there be light, will listen to my prayers down and say, I hear you. And he's never too busy for me or for you. He got the whole world in his hands, running the whole universe. And when I call him, he hears. He's never too busy for me, never too busy for you. Now, I can say in my life, I've been too busy for God. I've been too busy to pray. And I'm ashamed to say that. That's true. And I've learned if I'm too busy to pray, I'm too busy. And if you haven't prayed and you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Listen, you can't afford not to pray. You can't afford not to pray. And many of us, we don't pray until something happens. Then we call on everybody to pray. We won't have a prayer meeting. But what God is saying to us, he will hear us when we pray. And God will answer our prayers. And I gave you a scripture, James chapter 5, verse 16. And James is talking about Elijah. He said, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he said, and he prayed fervently. Because it says that the prayer of the righteous availeth much, right? He said he prayed that it would not rain. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Now, he's some show enough praying. We call that done. Hey, you show enough praying. That's Georgia type talking. You show enough praying. 3.5 years. And he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Wow. Isn't that amazing? God heard Elijah. And it didn't rain. Now, the question you want to ask yourself, why in the world would Elijah pray something like that? Why would he pray that? Because you might say, well, I'm going to pray for it might not rain either. That it might rain. Well, you got to read the history of Israel and understand that Elijah was a prophet of God. And he shows up on the scene in 1 Kings 17. And he shows up to King Ahab and tells King Ahab, there's not going to be any rain unless it's the sound of my voice. Now, why is Ahab praying, that Elijah praying that it would not rain? Because King Ahab is a wicked king. He's a king of Israel. And Israel has turned their back on God. Turned their back. They're worshiping false gods. Elijah is a prophet. Comes to the people of God and says, you have turned your back on God. Now, you say, okay, well, what about the rain? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 through 17, Moses had told the people this. God's going to bless you, and God's going to take you out of Egypt, redeem you. Out of Egypt, he's going to bless you and put you in the promised land, the land of Canaan. You didn't have to work for it. God's going to give it to you. And that land is going to be, need God to bless it with rain. It's a hill land. And he says that as long as you obey me and serve me, I will send rain and let it rain. So you ain't got to worry about your crops. I'm going to take care of you. But then God says, but if you turn your back on me and you start to go after other gods, he says, I will shut up the heavens and there will be no rain so that you would know I am God. So here's the prophet Elijah sees King Ahab being a wicked king, leading the people astray, and Elijah prays, God, do what you said you was going to do in your word. We have turned our back on you. Don't let it rain. For 3.5 years, so that the people would know that they need to depend upon God. And it didn't rain, and it got so bad, if you can read the story, it said that people started eating their own children. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. They became cannibals. And God says, I did it because Elijah prayed, because he wanted to get the people's attention, turn back to God. And so he calls and prays again. God sent rain. He prays 7 times, it says. God sent rain. Then he tells his servant, go up and look. Servant looks and says, I see a little fist like a man's hand, a cloud. He said, tell King Ahab the rain is coming. And it pours down rain. What I'm trying to say to you is this. What James is saying, that just like Elijah prayed, and he was not superhuman. He was like you and me, but he believed in the big God. And he prayed, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. And he's encouraging us that if God can do that for him, what would he do in our life if we would just pray, but take him at his word and pray? That God would hear and answer our prayers. And God heard Elijah's prayer and answered it. It stopped raining. Elijah prayed, don't let it rain. He said, God, please let it rain. And it rained. Because Elijah prayed to God. What is it in your life right now that you need God to reign over it? What is it in your life right now that you need God to reign over the situation in your life? Whether it's your finances, whether it's your children, whether it's something going on in your life. You say, God, I need you to reign on this situation. It's dead. Or it's dying. God can do it. But he wants you to be persistent. He wants you to seek him. He wants you to come to him. And when you seek him, you will find him. He wants you to get involved with prayer. Be persistent. Because he has promised to hear and answer our prayers. Point 3, the analogy. When you pray, be expectant. See, expectant prayer is like a child trusting in their parents to supply what they need. See, we should pray expectant prayers. Look what it says in verse 9. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent? He says, if you would take care of your own children, how much will I do for you? He says, you would give this to you. If your children need, if your son needed a fish, that means he needs something to eat. You wouldn't give him a snake, would you, or a serpent? Now, in those days, serpent was seen as unclean animals. And what Jesus is saying, that if your, here's a son needs a fish, something to eat, you wouldn't give him something that's going to either defile him or hurt him, would you? Would you give your son something bad or your child something that's going to hurt them? You wouldn't do that, would you? No good parent would do that. They would give their child what they need. Food, I'm going to give you food. And what he's saying is when we pray, we need to be expectant like a child, trusting God. And you ask yourself, why should we pray to God if God knows all things? Why should I pray to God if God knows all things? Why should I be persistent in prayer? Why should I do that? Well, here's what I mean by this. Persistent prayer doesn't mean that we convince God to do what he didn't want to do in the first place. Like being persistent, like, okay, like, you know, your kids ask you, can I go, can I go, can I go, can I go, can I go? You say, God, get out of this, go. Right? Now, you wouldn't go, you know, you didn't say go because you really care. He's like, just get out of my face. Yeah, go. So it's almost like they convince you to tell them yes when they didn't want you, right? But see, God's not like you and me. See, persistent prayer doesn't mean that we convince God to do something that he doesn't want to do, but rather it reveals how much we actually trust God to do what he wants to do anyway. See, persistent prayer means the fact that I know God hears me. I keep coming back, God, I know you hear me, I know you care, I know you're concerned, and I know that you really want to do what I'm asking you for. Now, how do I know that God wants to do what I'm asking him for? Well, if I'm in God's word and I'm seeking his kingdom, remember, I told you, Elijah prayed about it not raining. Why did he pray that? Because he knew what Moses said. If the people turn against God, I'm going to shut the heavens up. He said, God, do what you say you're going to do. I'm asking you to do what you say you're going to do. So if I believe God, when God says to me in Matthew 6, 32, for he says to me in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I'm going to say, God, I'm going to seek you and your righteousness because I believe you're going to do what you say you're going to do. You're going to take care of my needs. So I'm going to seek your will and your kingdom. I'm going to get involved in what you're doing. I'm going to seek to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ, and you're going to take care of me. And I believe you're going to do that. So now my prayers are not focused on my material needs. My prayers now is focused on God's will being done. God, who can I reach for you? God, what can I do to further your kingdom? God, what you have me to do with what you've given me? God, how should you have me use my finances to further your kingdom? God, how should you have me use my house to further your kingdom? God, how can I pray and use this car to further your kingdom? You see what I'm saying? Instead of me praying, God, give me a house. God, give me a car. Give me more money. God, how can I use what you already given me to further your kingdom? Because now our prayers are not focused on our earthly pleasures and our prosperity. It is focused on God's kingdom. And when we're focused on God's kingdom, God will give us stuff. Because he knows now stuff doesn't have us. And so God wants us to pray. And God will hear us. Now I want us to be careful about this, because now James also says in James 4, he says this: you do ask and you don't have. James says, no, some of you are asking for some stuff, and you don't have it. You know why he said you don't have it? Because you want to use it on your worldly pleasures. In other words, God is saying that some stuff you're asking for, he said, you're asking for it, and you have no thought about my kingdom. You want to do it for you. You're asking for stuff for you, that bigger job for you. Because God knows that when you get that pay raise, none of that money is going to the church. Matter of fact, you can complain and say, I ain't giving money to the church. This is for me and my family. I've heard that before. Not here in this church, but church down the road. Not here. I want to make sure that's clear. Nobody said that here, just down there. But people said that. They pray about stuff. Because I'm not giving you that, because you're not going to share it. Now think about it. Here's the analogy that's true. I'm not going to give any names. It's going to be true. It's my kids. This is true. I have went to the store with my own money, my own car, my own gas, and bought my kids stuff with my own money that I worked for. Say some candy or something. Like a candy. Bought it for them. Hey, it's yours. Now, here's what happened. I buy it for them, come home, just walk in there, you know, bag of candy. One of the siblings said, hey, can I have a piece of that? No, that's mine. I'm like, hey, but you didn't work for that. You didn't pay for that. Why can't you share? I bought that for you. Well, it's mine. But you didn't have any money. So you see what happened? I just bought you something that you had no, because you asked me, you had no money. I gave you this whole bag. You walk in the house, and one of your members asks you for something, and you knock them out. And you, what you say? This is mine. He said, well, that's kids do that. No, adults do that too. More than we think. God blesses us. Financially, whatever we want, and what we say, it's mine. And then we want to show how good God is. God is so blessing me. You know why God blesses you? You know why? To bless others. See, if God's only blessing you, you ain't blessing others, he ain't blessing you. He's not blessing you. Because God blesses through you. He blesses to you to bless through you. You know how God blesses his people? Through his people. Say that again. God blesses his people through his people. So when you are seeking God and you praying to God, you might be praying one day. If someone has a need, you don't even know, God puts that person on your heart. And you talk to, hey, how's it going? Things are going. I don't know, man. Things going bad, kind of low money. And you say to yourself, man, hey, listen, here you go. God told me to give you that. A person said, well, how did you know? I just felt like I need to pray, and God put you on my heart. Here you go. God has blessed me and my family. We have more than enough. I'm going to give that to you. Things happen. I can tell you more and more stories that people have come up and did that to me. Then I said once, God, I want to be that way with other people. I want to be the black. I want to have my hand out, but not to receive something, but to give something. But you're going to do that when you're praying and you get involved. And God says, now that you're seeking me in my kingdom, I will bless you, because now I know I can bless through you. So then when we pray, we can expect God to take care of us and to give us our needs, and we can trust God, and God will supply our needs. You know what God would do? He's so good, he'll give you more than you need. Because everybody in here right now has more than you need. Everybody in here has more than they need. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I have more than I need. So you don't know me, I'm just saying about me. And you be unto yourself, you have more than you need. You have supplied your greed. Overabundance. And God can pry it out of your hands. And you would say, God bless me with that. Really? Has he really blessed you with that? Has he really blessed you with that? And that's what God wants to do, to bless his people. So we expect God to meet our needs like we meet our children's need. And look at verse point four, the nature of God. God is able, based on his character, his capability, and compassion, to do more than we could ever imagine. Look at verse 11. He says, if you then, who are evil. Now, I'm going to stop and say that again. If you then, who are evil. Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And here's what he's saying to his disciples. When I compare me and my Father to you, you're evil. And you are an evil, sinful person, and yet you still know how to do good to your own children. And you're a sinner, and you're evil. And he says, I'm not like you. My Father's not like you. So if you are evil, sinful, human, who can still do good to your own children, look what he says. Then he says, if you are evil, don't have to give good gifts, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? God's character, God's nature, God is good. God is good. If we want to sum in, God is good. That's his character. And God is able, and more than able, to supply what you need. God is more than able to do what you ask of him. He's able. And God has so much compassion on us that he even does things. I call this grace. Grace means God gives you stuff you don't deserve. And that is the problem with most Christians. We think the stuff we have, we deserve it. And that's why we want to hold on to it. Because I deserved it. This is mine. I worked hard for this. Well, for the grace of God, what would you be? That God can open up doors for you to get where you are. Dare we as Christians ever say, look what I did. And many of us have, some people, have what I call the woodpecker theology. Woodpecker. Now, I'm going to give you an example of this. This woodpecker was hanging out with his homeboys one day, and the woodpecker was pecking on this light pole. He said, man, I can knock this light pole down. He just pecking. And the other woodpecker said, man, you stupid. Stop doing that. The woodpecker just kept pecking. He said, I'm going to show you. He just pecking. And all of a sudden, he just pecking, and he pecked one time, and all of a sudden, a lightning bolt, it was raining, so a lightning crooked hit the light pole. Boom! As soon as he pecked it, boom, lightning bolt hit, and it fell. I mean, the lightning just fell down. Man, that woodpecker stood his chest back and said, look what I just did. He didn't understand that God let lightning strike. And what I'm trying to say to you and me, that we wouldn't be nothing if God didn't let lightning strike in your direction. You wouldn't have what you have, the job you have, the education you have, if God didn't let lightning strike in your favor. So dare we as Christians ever say, look what I did. Look what I did. This is my stuff. I accomplished this. That is sinful from the pit of hell. That is not what God says that Christians should do. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By God's favor. That I have a job, that I have an education, by God's grace. Because there are people who just as holy as you that don't have what you have. Matter of fact, there's some people who are more righteous than we are that don't have what we have. Big Mama prayed all day and she don't live in the house that we have. My grandma had an outhouse, didn't have a bathroom in the house, but knew Jesus more than I do. And I have a big house, bedroom. Oh, I'm blessed. No, Big Mama was blessed because she knew Jesus. And yet we have all this stuff and we don't pray. And yet we say we're blessed. Big Mama will walk to church. We won't even drive to church. And we got 2 cars, 3 cars. And we say we won't get there because we're too tired. Got folks walking to church. And we won't even drive. Not because we ain't got gas in the car. We got a tank full of gas in the car. But we use that for work, though. Not for church. I'm sorry. Somebody get quiet just there. I'm sorry. It's true. I've been there. It's true. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. Because I need to hear it just as much as you do. So I'm preaching to us. Not to you. I'm preaching to us. We need to hear this. Because God is good. And God gives us more than we deserve. He gives way more than we deserve. And we give him less than he deserves. We give him way less than he deserved. He deserves our all. And we give him that ado attitude. God can do more than you could ever imagine. Favorite scripture is Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who's able to do abundantly above all, what? Ask or what? Think. According to the power that works where? In him. Now to him be glory where? In the church and in Christ Jesus. God can do more than you can ask. And he says to you, he tells you, ask me, seek, knock, and I'll show you what I can do for you. Get involved with prayer. God wants to use you. And God wants to use his church to be people of prayer. And to expect God to do the great. That's why that song is powerful. Expect the great. Why should I expect? I should expect nothing but. I mean, why should I expect anything less than greatness from a great God? This is his nature. God is great. So if he gives me what? It's great. And see, sometimes we go back to them old prayer they taught us. God is great. God is what? Good. He said, man, that's so elementary, but that's good theology. God is great. God is good. Let it think this for this what? Food. That's good theology. So we've got too sophisticated to pray those prayers. So we don't pray at all. So here's a conclusion that I want us to have, that I need to have in my own life. Renew your commitment to prayer. Renew your commitment to prayer. Begin to pray daily for our church. I didn't say you, I said our church. To be effective for the kingdom of God. See, God already got you. God wants to use you. God is looking at Temecula and Marietta and saying, man, the harvest is what? Plentiful. The laborers are few. And that's why we named our church Beyond the Walls, because we want to take the gospel beyond the walls. We want to reap the harvest beyond the walls. The harvest is not in here. The harvest is out there. We reap it, and we bring it in here, and we celebrate it. That's what we do. How you can be effective for the kingdom of God. Then also, ask God how you can get involved in what he is doing in our church. That's all about the kingdom right there. Pray how God can use our church to be effective for the kingdom of God. Then ask God how he wants to use you. Pray that Isaiah, hear my Lord, send me. Something needs to be done. God, I'm here. I'm available. I do that. Wouldn't it be amazing? Think about it. Wouldn't it be amazing if everybody in our church had Isaiah's mentality? I'm honest. I'm being honest with you. If everybody in our church said, whatever needs to be done, Pastor, I do it. I don't like to do it, but I want to do it. Sadly and truthfully, not just this church, churches all over the world. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Now, I believe that we can change that. I believe that. I believe that this church can be an example and say, no, we're not going to be 20-80. We're going to be the 80-20 rule. 80% of people is going to do the work. Or, not only that, I'm going to go a little better. 100% of everybody is going to do all the work. We're going to do what it takes for the kingdom of God and for our church, and I'm going to get involved. And that's what I mean by get involved by prayer. Because I just believe that God is so good and cares about people and cares about our church that if you pray and ask God, God, you know, what you have me do at that church called Beyond the Walls that I'm a member of, I think he'll tell you something. I don't know, just try it. Does my heart good today? See, Larry up here playing the congos. Remember a couple months ago? Remember what I said a couple months ago? People don't remember. I said, you know what? We're going to have live music because we got people in our church who can play instruments. They're already here. They're already here. How many of you have, I've told you over and over again, my prayer is that we will have live musicians pray. And I'm telling you, they're in the church. They're already here. They're in our church. Undercover musicians. They're here. Undercover brother. They're here. I mean, I'm trying to say, God has already provided everything we need. They're here. They're already here. They're here. But have they prayed and said, God, would you have me do that for your kingdom and for your glory? They're here. Not only, I don't know who you are, but you're here. And I'm looking for you. And I'm going to find you. Now, God's looking for you. I'm not looking for you. God's looking for you. God's looking for you. But we prayed about that. So this Sunday, he's up there praying. And I prayed about it. We talked about it a couple months ago. We need musicians to step up and do it. That's what God wants for us in our church. To be kingdom-minded. Because what God is saying to you is when you make time for him, he'll make time for you. When you make time for him, he'll make time for you. Please don't tell me you don't have time for God. We shouldn't say that as Christians. And that's the only thing that probably gets me upset when people say, I don't have time for God. Because I know what God does for us, has done for me. And for me to say I don't have time for God is sinful. So we have to get involved with what God is doing and pray. But if you're not a Christian, everything I just said in the sermon doesn't apply to you until you get saved. Because God's will is that you may not perish, but have eternal life. When I said that God treats us like his children, he does that to those who really are his children. And let me just clarify some bad theology that's out there. Not every person is a child of God. We're not all God's children. We all are being created by God, but we're not all God's children. Jesus told the Pharisees, your father is the devil. Because you're doing the work of the devil, you're trying to kill me. He said, you can't be of my father because if God was your father, you would love me. You're trying to kill me. Here's what I'm saying to you. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have denied Jesus, you say, I don't believe in that. God is not your father. Because God the Father has a son named Jesus and said, believe in him. For instance, let me be honest with you. I have three children. Honest with you. If you came up to me today and told me, listen, Pastor, really like you, but I can't stand your kids. we're going to have a problem. I'll be honest with you. If you told me, hey, Pastor, I like you, but I can't stand your kids, we're going to have a problem. Like, well, guess what? That's a package deal. And what God is saying to us about Jesus, you can say, God, I love you, but I don't really care too much for Jesus. He said, well, I've got a problem here. See, me and him was a package deal. You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We all roll in threes. We ride or die. Literally. Right? See, we. But we don't, but see, you know what I'm trying to say about that? We can't reject Jesus and say we're a child of the Father. We're not his children. We only can be God's Father when Jesus Christ is our brother by faith and repentance. So I'm asking you, I'm praying for you, that if you do not know Jesus Christ, you need to come and repent and say, God, I surrender my life to you. I know you love me. You care for me. I want to know you. That's our prayer for you. Because you can't get none of this. You can't expect no prayer. You can't expect God to answer because you don't know him. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I pray that you would surrender your life to Jesus. And let me those who are members who are Christians. Well, if you're a member, you're Christian. So we can't no messing that up. We should be praying for people before we even come to church. We really should. You should be already praying, God, do something. Save somebody. Help the pastor preach that message. Help him preach the word so that people may hear, that I may hear, that I may be transformed. You should come in and pray it out. But we want you to know Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you have not surrendered your life to him and repented of your sins and recognized that you need Jesus, do it today. Do it now.